thank you all so much for coming out tonight. I must confess to you, as I was sitting there on the bench and I saw the ones that were here tonight, I actually changed our lesson. I did not announce our lesson from last night, but because the minister does have certain privileges that sometimes people don't know that he really does have, I actually did change our lesson. I began to think about some of the things that I may have left off on Sunday morning, Brother Wayne, when I was talking about what builds a strong church. And as I was thinking about those things, I remembered some time ago putting a lesson together that I keep pretty close and in my Bible and in my heart as well. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the strength of one another and how important that is to every congregation. It is of necessity that we pull from the Lord Jesus our strength, and certainly we do pull from the Bible itself our strength. But I want you to know that we need to be able to pull from one another the strength to continue on in this life. And so whenever we read and study our Bibles, we're going to find certain verses of Scripture that will indicate to us just how important the strength of one another really is. I don't know if you're a lot like myself and also my wife, and I'd like to say that I really appreciate my wife coming with me tonight. We see each other occasionally. We wave at each other on the road when we pass each other. But on occasion, we are able to get together, and tonight she came with me, and I appreciate that. I've had her for a long, long time, and hope and pray that I get to keep her for a lot longer period of time. Amen. But let's talk a little bit about our strength of one another. I draw a lot of strength from all of you because you come here to support me and to support the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's my responsibility to preach it in such a way that maybe I can bring to you some strength from the gospel, because certainly there's a lot of strength there. But hopefully my character, my disposition, and my personality, and we all got one of those things, hopefully that will be something that you will draw strength from as well. Our responsibility in the Bible, in Luke chapter 22 and at verse 32, our responsibility to strengthen one another is found there. And so the Bible would say, when thou art converted, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, how is it that we're going to strengthen our brethren? We are given there a certain command. And he said, whenever it is that you become converted, you become a child of God, you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, you're going to need to be able to strengthen your brethren. Now, how is it that we're going to be able to do that? Now, let's talk for just a moment. Think for a moment. Anybody in this room ever needed a little bit of encouragement? Just in case you haven't, I would want to tell you tonight that I don't think anyone is immune to needing just a little bit of encouragement. And that goes a long way from time to time, especially whenever it is that you find yourself needing just a little bit of a pick-me-up. A little bit of encouragement, maybe a kind word. You know, the Bible teaches us to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, loving each other, forgiving one another. Understand that, but truly, there may need to be of necessity just a little kind word of encouragement that we need. I don't know how it is with you, but I really enjoy the encouragement that I get from other people. Whenever it is that they tell me that they've enjoyed the lesson, I have to take it that they really did enjoy the lesson. And certainly whenever you tell someone that you're really looking well, you know, that's certainly a way to compliment someone. Now, I realize that we don't get as many compliments sometimes as we need to have. And so I believe that whenever we think about strengthening our brethren, compliments need to be a part of it. And you know, it's like Grandpa said many years ago, if you can't say something good about someone, then it's better just to keep one's mouth shut. And so we need to be able to be looking for those good things that we can say to someone. And so, you know, if you go out of your way to say something good to someone, it might make all the difference in the world as far as strengthening that person. It may have built them up in such a way that they would want to come back to the assembly of the saints. Certainly, if you were to enter into a congregation that did not have people there willing to encourage,
that would be a devastating thing. Not only that, but if you were to enter into a congregation and worship with a congregation that didn't have those that were friendly, as we talked about on Sunday morning, certainly that wouldn't be a draw to come back to that service if you didn't find someone friendly. But if you entered into a situation where there were those there that really went out of their way to strengthen you, to encourage you, to build you up, to compliment you. And so whenever you read that verse of Scripture, it's our responsibility to strengthen one another in the Lord's church. And we need to be able to draw strength from one another. Whenever it is that we show up, when it comes worship time and we show up, it should be a strength-drawing process there, because you're here and I'm here and we're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so I would say to you that there is a lot of strength that we have one for another. We may not realize that, but truly it is. I believe with all of my heart that if you become that person that's serving diligently in the kingdom of God, and you become that child of God that really and truly is committed with sincerity, whenever it is that you miss a service, doesn't it make you feel bad? I mean, think about that for a moment. Doesn't it make you feel bad? I know a lot of times in our lives, my wife and I, we just really and truly have made it a habit that if we go anywhere, we try to find the church way before we get there, so that we don't have to miss services at any given time. Whether it be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, if we miss services, it's just almost like catching a cold or being sick, because it doesn't make you feel well. So I would tell you tonight in our point number one that our responsibility is to strengthen one another, and there's a lot of strength there, because we can draw it from one another. Now let's look at point number two. The strength of one another is not only found after we're converted and commanded to strengthen one another, but we need to find some common ground. You know, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible's going to teach us a little bit about finding some common ground. Now, you know, you may not like the same things that I like, and I may not like the same things that you like, but I'll almost assure you that if we talk long enough and stay in conversation long enough, Brother Watwood, we'll find something that both of us like together, and we'll be able to talk about it. Well, let's talk about what the Bible says in respect of that, the common ground. He said, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith. Look at that now. By the mutual faith, both of you and me, Romans 1, verse 12. So there is something that we should have in common that we can refer to, that we can talk about. Our goal is to go to heaven. So if nothing else, we can talk about going to heaven, because that's something that both of us, all of us together, are striving to do. That should be our number one goal in life, is to live in this world in such a way that heaven be our home at the end of the way. Now, that common ground, there's a lot of things out there that you can find common ground about. You know, I've heard people say before that I just don't have anything in common with that person. It may very well be, as an old, he was a storyteller, Will Rogers. You'll remember Will Rogers, you know. He said, you know, at one point in time, he said, I began to look at that man and decided immediately that I didn't like that man. So I had to get to know him a little better so that I might learn to like him. And so that we could use in our Christian lives, that if we find that we don't have anything in common with someone and they're there with mutual faith, we need to be able to find something that we have in common, that we'll be able to talk to them about, that we'll be able to carry on conversation about. Now, there's nothing better to talk about than that of the Bible. You might be amazed at how much that you would have in common when you begin to talk to people about the Bible. You know, I've learned a long, long time ago that if you really and truly want to talk about something that a lot of people are never turned off to, just pick the Bible up and talk about Jesus. And if you begin to talk about Jesus, they'll have something good to say, because most people, really and truly, they have something good in their minds and their hearts about Jesus. And so, when you think about this common ground, I think we need to search harder than ever before to build our congregations up in number and in strength, to find a common ground that we can talk about. I know that in a personal Bible study, if you go out there and you begin a personal Bible study with someone that may not agree with you on some of the subjects that the Bible encourages us on, you must find common ground to begin with so that you can break a little bit of that ice that might be between you. You know, it's hard to study with someone if you start out opposites from one another. But if you find something that you have in common and you begin your study with those things you hold in common, then it won't be long until you'll be able to talk about some of the things that you may not agree on. And then you may find common ground there to convert someone. There's really something amazing about people that are good personal Bible study people. When they go out and they find someone and they begin to talk to them and they're able to convert them and to teach them the gospel, and then those people obey the gospel as a result of that individual. Well, I'll tell you, almost every time it had to begin with some common ground. It had to begin somewhere with some common ground. So it does make a great deal of sense whenever you're thinking about teaching someone about God, if you find common ground. That is, he said, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Our goal should be to go to heaven. Now let's think about something else that really and truly ought to strike home. Now I'm going to move through these pretty quickly because I got a lot of room to cover tonight. So our point number three. In Romans 14, verse 13, we need to be careful in every avenue of our life to be considerate. To be considerate. Now, I want you to think about what I'm about to say to you. Take care to always be considerate. He said, let us not therefore judge one another, he said, anymore. Let us not, he said, therefore judge one another anymore. It's very easy, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but isn't it very easy sometimes to be caught up in a conversation and you really don't have all the facts? And you get caught up in that conversation and before you know it, you're talking about something that you know little or nothing about. Anybody ever have that happen to you? I've saw that more than once in my life, where there was a good conversation going on and I began to be involved in that conversation, and before I knew it, I was talking about something that I had no knowledge of. I think we need to be careful to be so considerate of other people. You know, we really and truly don't know what it's like sometimes unless we've walked in their shoes. You know, a lot of times people have problems in their lives and we don't know how to address those problems. You know why? Because we've never had those problems in our lives. And so I would say to you tonight that one of the main things that ought to be in the objectives that we take is to be considerate of other people. Be careful. And I'll tell you something else. You know, everybody seemingly wants to, when things are a little bit tough, they want to talk about their problems. And so if you ask somebody how they're doing, give time to listening to their answer of how they're really doing. Because sometimes people will give a hint to needing a little bit of encouragement there in the things that are going on in their lives. You know, if you ask them how they're doing, then just don't run off from them. Give them an opportunity. Be considerate of those things that's going on in that person's life. You know, it's almost a given that if you're in the ministry, you're going to find that there are some people that don't have anyone to talk to. Have you ever run across someone like that? When somebody really and truly needs someone to talk to. Well, if someone comes to you and they're really needing to talk to someone about something, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were truly considerate of that individual and we were a good listener of those things that they had to say? I think that builds strength, and I think it builds strong congregations when people are considerate of one another. Suppose we have someone in our audience that maybe can't hear too well. Shouldn't we be considerate of that? Maybe if we have someone in our audience that can't see very well, shouldn't we be considerate of those things too? And maybe it is that we have someone that really and truly can't get up and down the steps the way they used to. Shouldn't we have someone out there in consideration of that? You know, we've taught our young men there at the congregation that if you see someone pull up and they're needing a little assistance or a little help, be considerate enough to go out and help those people in and out of the building. Be very careful. And when people get a little older, I don't know, there's not too many of you out here that's just really older, but people don't like to be talked about when it comes to being older. But just in case you find yourself not moving along as quickly as you once did, isn't it great to find someone that's considerate enough to help you a little bit and to take the time to do that. You see, these things I'm talking to you about tonight, when I looked at our audience tonight, I thought these things will be helpful to us because we're trying to build a stronger congregation at Menlo. We're trying to build a stronger congregation at Lebanon and all the other places around. We're trying to build strong congregations. And these are tools that we can use to build strong churches. And so, taking care to be considerate. Let us not, therefore, he said, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I want to emphasize to you that sometimes when people are not considerate of other people, they become a stumbling block to those people. And we don't want to be a stumbling block. We don't want to be that person that interferes with someone coming to church and learning how to obey the gospel. You know, I've known of people that were so very argumentative about every little thing. Have you ever noticed that you'll run across a person every once in a while that's so argumentative that you can't really carry on a good conversation with them because they really just want to argue with you. They don't want to talk. They just want to argue with you. Well, that's not being considerate. If Brother Watwood and I were going to sit down there and talk about something, if I were so argumentative that every word that came out of his mouth, I wanted to argue about it, it wouldn't be long until he decided he didn't want to talk to me. And so those are things that we need to take care. And you know, when people come in the door sometimes, we may very well have visitors that don't know anything at all about the Lord's church. They don't know anything at all about the practices of worship. They don't know anything at all about what the Bible teaches about some of the things that we do in our worship service. Shouldn't we be careful and considerate to teach those people in such a way that we do it with love and we do it with consideration? We're able to talk to them, and instead of being offensive, you know, we've got their attention and they're really and truly wanting to understand why it is that we do what we do. Why it is that we don't have a piano in the building, why it is that we observe the Lord's table each and every Lord's Day, and why it is that we don't have car washes and bingo games and all of this to take in the money of the church. These are serious matters. And the things that we're talking about, consideration of other people, they may not know why it is that we don't do these things. They may not understand why that we don't have a woman up here leading the singing or a woman leading prayer or something of that. We need to be careful to be considerate to teach them in such a way that we're not offensive, that we are very, very careful. Now, you know, I'm very quick to point out the error of someone's teaching. You know, I've been very careful to do that, but I'm very quick to do that. If someone's in error, then I would say, hey, let's look at what the Bible says about this, and let's me and you talk about it. You know, it's the only way it can work is through consideration of other people and not being so judgmental about other people. Before I became a parent, you know, I was very, well, I was naive about children. I would always say what I would do if that were my child. I would always say that. And, you know, I learned a very hard lesson because when you become a dad or a mom, it's not too long into being a dad or a mom that you realize that you don't really know what you would do until you get there, you know. And that's how it works with teaching people about God. That's how it works with teaching people about what the Bible says. It's being considerate, you know, being careful, doing it in such a way that people can really, they can understand that you're serious about it. You know, you're not mean about it. You're not belligerent about it. You're just serious about it. And so that verse of Scripture, it stands out in my mind, to take care always to be considerate. Now, in Romans 14, in Romans chapter 14 and at verse 19, we need to be able to find a way to promote peace. You know, there are a lot of congregations across our land that are suffering right now because as a result of the fact that there's no peacemakers left in the congregations. You know, it used to be whenever we had Grandpa alive and well down there where we was that Grandpa was known as the peacemaker. And he could go out and if there was a congregation that had turmoil in it and there was personality problems there in the congregation or there was other difficulties in the congregation, then Grandpa could go out and he became the peacemaker. And you know what he would do? He would sit down with both of those people who had the controversy and he would talk with those people and they'd look at what the Bible said on the matter. And oh, he was such a gracious, wonderful peacemaker. Well, let me tell you, the Bible teaches us in Romans 14 and at verse 19 that we need to be able to find a way to promote peace. Let us therefore follow, he said, after the things which make for peace. Now, if we're going to follow after the things which make for peace, we're going to have to learn how to become a peacemaker. Now, that doesn't mean to become liberal-minded. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm talking about at all. That doesn't mean to become liberal-minded so that you don't follow the teachings of this book. It simply means that we're careful to be that peacemaker, to point out assuredly of the things that the Bible is saying to us and how that we make application of it. So that verse of Scripture, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. You see, it may be that we need to look for some things to encourage other people with. You know, some of the things that we may encourage other people with is maybe giving them a card or sending them a card or picking up the telephone and making a telephone call or spending 15 or 20 minutes out of our busy schedule just to sit down and talk in conversation. You know, and you'd be amazed how enjoyable it is to talk sometimes when people are really willing to talk. I know the other afternoon I visited with Miss Annie. I was talking with Miss Donna back there, and Miss Annie is a wonderful human being just to sit down and talk to. You know, and if you just spend just a little bit of time there, it's amazing what she can tell you about the old days and some of the things that went on in her life. And so what I'm talking to you about is finding a way to promote peace. We can build a strong congregation if we've got a lot of peacemakers in the congregation. We can build a strong, vibrant church if we've got people that are peacemakers. You know, but if we've got people that are argumentative and mean and belligerent and always mad at the world and always got a scowl on their face and never have a smile on their face, it's going to be awful hard to build a strong congregation with folks like that. But if you've got folks got a smile on their face and that little bounce in their step that I was talking about last night, if you can do that and become a peacemaker, I tell you what, folks will want to come. And then if they come, then they'll be able to learn. And if they learn, they'll be able to obey. And if they're able to obey, you may be very well on your way to converting someone and teaching them what it takes to go to heaven when this life is over. Now, there's something else that I want to talk to you about. Not only do we need to be able to promote peace and find things to edify one another with, but I think there's something else that is needed in all the congregations that seemingly is missing in a lot of places. See if you don't agree with me on this. In Galatians 6 and verse 2, we must go about doing good deeds. And you know, there are a lot of congregations that don't have those old good deed doers anymore. You know, there are a lot of people that don't want to get involved because it may require a little bit of the sacrifice of their time. It may cost them a little bit of something off the hip. They just really don't want to get involved in going about doing good deeds. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you've got a congregation that's full of people willing to work and do good deeds for other people, you'll find that you're going to grow a strong, strong congregation of the Lord's people. If you've got a lot of good deed doers. Now, that verse of Scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens, he says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. So if someone in the congregation is having a hard time, you know, there's nothing wrong with us being involved in such a way that we can help with that hard time. You agree with that? If someone's having a hard time, then we need to be there to help with that hard time. You know, if we bear one another's burdens, we're going to be careful to understand that we can help sometimes. We may not think we've got the time. We may not think we've got the means. But, you know, collectively, together as a congregation, we can do a great many things that we may have never thought that we could. That will build a strong congregation if we become a good deed doer. Well, if we bear one another's burdens, we do fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity. And I want you to listen to this one. As we have therefore opportunity. Now, there are a lot of people that lets a lot of good opportunities go by. But here's where a congregation can either make it or fail. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto, and I want you to listen to this word, all. A-L-L. the word all. It's very important to understand that that word all carries you outside the realm of the church. Someone said, now Gary, I can't believe you would say that. Think about it for a moment. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all. That carries us outside the realm of the church. Now, there's an especially there in that verse of Scripture, and it's easy to understand that part of it because it says, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay, now there's the priority that we put in the opportunity, okay? The opportunity has two parts. It has the part there that has the priority on it, which is the especially unto those who are the household of faith. That's the Lord's people. And then the word all carries us into the opportunity as well, and it carries us outside the realm of the church, that if we have an opportunity to help someone that may not even be associated with the Lord's church in any way, we may very well make a difference in that person's life. And they may very well come to a knowledge of the truth, and they may very well obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like as I accounted for Chris and Christy Rogers at the Glencoe Church of Christ down there that was working with us on disaster relief. Brother David Bowers converted those two people. The man was paralyzed. His little child was hurt. His wife was hurt. The man converted those people because they were out there helping those people. They weren't even associated with the Lord's church anyway. Didn't know anything about the Lord's church. But because of the opportunity to help those people, David was able to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ and to convert them, and they were obedient to the plan of salvation and were baptized into Christ. Just like Josh the other day, as we learned up here at Lookout Hall, that Josh was able to teach some people and they wanted to understand the gospel and they wanted to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And they obeyed the gospel. So you see, this business of going about being a good deed doer will build a strong congregation. It will work in Menlo. It will work in Lookout Hall. It'll work down there where I'm at. It'll work anywhere and everywhere if we make application in the way that we should. So, let us be a good deed doer and take opportunity to help people as much as we can. And that word all does carry us. Now, I had this question the other night. Someone asked me, just going out the door, said, we just wanted to ask you this question. Do you think it's all right to help people outside the church? And yes, I do. Because the Bible does teach us that. And it says all, and it carries us outside the realm. Now, it does say an especially, and it puts us in the church. But that is a great, great opportunity to build a strong congregation with opportunity to be a good deed doer. Now, let's look at something else. Not only should we go about doing good deeds, but here's something that I believe in too. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 8, the strength and the wisdom of the gospel is so important. And the Bible said, finally, brethren, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. He said, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now think for a moment what this is teaching us. If we're going to be a strong congregation, people need to be able to feel the love that we have one for another inside that congregation. You agree? People need to be able to see it. They need to be able to feel it. There need to be no animosity there that's escaped from one to the other, that people could come into the assembly of the saints and they could feel that animosity. There should be no scowling. There should be no sitting over here and sitting over there and not willing to sit together. It should be that we all understand the importance of what that verse is teaching us. Finally, he says, be ye all of one mind. If we're going to argue, let us not argue outside, but keep everything decent and in order. And so if we're going to disagree on something, let us take it where we need to be able to disagree in such a way that we won't become a stumbling block to someone that may not even know what we're disagreeing about. You know, some of the older aged men that I've been associated with in my life that taught me many, many years ago, decent and in order means that you keep it that way. That if there's going to be a discrepancy, if there's going to be controversy between two people, let it not be that the whole Bible study is disrupted as a result of that. take that into consideration and be very careful to do that. It's very good that if someone has a disagreement with me on something that I might have preached or something I might have said from the pulpit, it's a wonderful thing that if they'd just wait till we got outside out there, we could definitely talk about it or go into one of these rooms. But not to stand up and make an argument over something so that someone that didn't even know what we were talking about was offended by it. And so you see, that's something very important for congregations to remember, is that we keep everything decent and in order. And he says that we be of one mind, that we love each other, and that we have compassion one for another. Do you know what that compassion should represent to all of us? Now, I realize this is not a preaching sermon tonight. This is more of a teaching sermon. But compassion one for another is consideration to the point that you may be having a bad day, you know. And I need to be careful to understand that. And if there's, you know, I don't know how it is with you, but you may not have every day as good as you would like for it to be. And it might very well be that you've had a hard day that day and you come to the assembly and you're very quick to speak. And sometimes we do that. But you see this compassion level that we have one for another. If someone speaks quickly or they speak sort of directly and they don't really mean anything by it, that we should be compassionate toward that individual, to understand that it may not be the best day that they've ever had. And you see, those things really should work to build a strong congregation of the Lord's people. Well, our time is almost gone, but I wanted to share with you a couple of little things here. He said, to love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now, verse 9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Now, I've thought about that. You know, most of the time in our lives as a human being, when somebody hollers out at us or they're mean to us, what do we automatically from the human standpoint do? We be mean back, right? Or if somebody hollers at us, we just automatically holler back. Well, that's not exactly what this verse is teaching us. He says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. To be very careful, a soft answer, why it does turn away wrath. It's awful hard to be mean to a smiling face. It's awful hard to be angry at a soft answer when someone answers with a soft answer. And, you know, those things really work. I've tried it before in my lifetime, and it really does work. Through example, the next time you have opportunity to try that, use God's way there and see if it doesn't work. If someone rails out at you a little bit and they're a little bit angry with you or upset with you, just try your best to put that smile on that face and be soft with that answer and see if whether or not it don't turn it off real quick. I promise you it will. And so the Bible says, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. Let us be those people in our congregations that promote blessings to other people. And I'll tell you, Menlo has been a blessing to me this week because you all have come and supported me in this gospel meeting. You have blessed me in such a way because you love me enough, love the gospel enough, love the church enough that you would come and listen to those things that we have prepared to talk about this week. Now, I felt the need to change this lesson tonight because we didn't get to talk about all those things on Sunday morning in our Bible study class. What builds a strong church? I think all of you would agree with me on the things that we talked about tonight, that these things will build a strong congregation. The responsibility to strengthen one another, we have that. Finding that common ground so that we may be able to encourage and exhort one another. Taking care always to be considerate of other people. And not only that, but finding a way to promote peace, being a peacemaker. And then being a good deed doer. I just can't emphasize that one too much. And the strength and the wisdom of the gospel is that we have that compassion and love for one another. Those things will work, y'all. I promise you they will. Amen. They will encourage you. They will encourage me. And so let us put these things forth in our lives, use them in our congregation, and take advantage of the opportunity we have to build a strong, strong church. Now, if there should be anyone in our audience tonight who is not a Christian, I don't know if there is or if there's not, but just in case there is someone in our audience who is not a Christian and wants to become a Christian, the Bible teaches us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It teaches us that we must believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that we must repent of our sins, that we must confess Jesus with our mouth so that Jesus might be able to confess us before God who is in heaven. And then we're going to have to be willing to be buried in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins, so that we can be raised to walk in a newness of life, free of sin. The Lord will add us to the church, and what a wonderful, wonderful place to be in the Lord's church. And so if there is someone that has that need, we're here ready, willing, and able to help you. But just in case we have someone in our audience who would need to respond in such a way that they're already a member of the Lord's church, they've been baptized for the remission of their sins, but sin has come into their life and separated them from God. They've become what we refer to sometimes as the walking dead. And that's a sad way to put it, but certainly sin, the wages of sin, he said, is death. And certainly if we have sin in our life and it's alive and well, then we're separated from the Lord. And we don't want that. And that old precious blood that was shed on that cross, we've already learned this week, it will cleanse us from our sins. And so we can repent of our sins, have those whose prayers are not hindered because of sin to pray with us and for us as we repent of our sins. So if there is a need in our group tonight, won't you come right now while together we stand and sing?